And hello again, everybody. Dave Taylor Smith here, and we are continuing our series of interviewing DJs from the past as WVIN Radio celebrates 50 years of broadcasting in our community. And with us today is Tim Marshall. Hello, Tim. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Dave. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Your involvement in WVIN Radio goes back quite a ways. When you were a kid, you were telling me that you used to listen to the radio station.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, radio over the years has transitioned so much. When I was growing up as a kid in the 1970s, 1980s, you know, your primary means of getting any type of music, you know, of course, besides going to the record shop, you know, was the radio. And, you know, as a kid, I remember growing up, when I'd go to bed at night, I'd turn my little clock radio on, and I would lay in bed listening to John Snyder, The Midnight Rider. And, you know, a lot of my musical influences came from my sisters, who were older than me. So listening to, you know, the Southern rock phase and, you know, the Beatles and some of those genres, you know, and then transitioning into, you know, the 80s and the 90s and whatnot.
So. Now, eventually you had an opportunity to actually be here at the radio station. You were telling me you used to go visit it when it was down on Pulteney Square.
Yep. Yeah, I remember the radio station very well when you were down on Pulteney Square in the early days. I say the early days, but, you know, the early 1980s. You know, I would go down in the afternoons on a weekend, and, you know, I would visit with Dwayne Doherty, who worked on the weekends typically down there when, you know, before Dwayne ended up moving on from the area, you know, and just visiting with the disc jockeys and talking music, and, you know, it was really cool opportunity then.
When you're at the square, because I never saw that setup, so I don't know, but were you able to actually go in and talk to him?
Yeah. You could get into the lobby area, and the studio was right there on the right hand side when you went into the door, and, you know, you just kind of knock on the door, and they'd let you come in, and you just kind of hang out, and you'd request a song or whatever, and just talk with the DJs, and it was really a different world back
then. Today we have to lock it up.
It's really a different world, you know. And we were talking earlier before we started the interview about how radio has changed so much and how it's become syndicated, you know. And typically most of your DJs now aren't even in the studio, aren't involved in the community. You know, WVIN is so lucky to have the opportunity to have local folks that are still here, still involved in the community. It was interesting. I was talking with Frank Acom the other day, and we were talking about the fact that, you know, there is no more real local news anymore. I mean, VIN is the only one that's really doing any type of local news anymore.
Wow.
So it's really fantastic to know that we have a radio station that's still committed to the community. And, you know, Gordy and I have had this conversation. When I say Gordy Ichikawa, who is part of the ownership here within the radio station.
Yep.
And you know, we've talked about the fact that, you know, the radio station has to be community-oriented. And that's what really kind of, I think, Gordy wants to maintain that type of community system.
Well, since how radio has changed, that's the one way, I guess, little guys like us, mm-hmm. up against the big guys that are around us, as far as competition, it's the only way we're going to survive is to be very local and be involved, get businesses to sponsor local events that we're doing, things like that. So, okay,
absolutely.
Enough about us. Let's get back to you, because this is about you. And so you were a kid, and you enjoyed going down to the station when it was on Pulteney Square and watching and seeing the DJs. Eventually, you had an opportunity to actually get involved with the station through the high school program.
Yeah, so in my senior year in high school, somebody from the station approached the school district, and they wanted to start a 1 hour community program where they would have the school basically highlight school activities, you know, clubs and things that were going on in the school, and they wanted to have students come in and kind of talk about, you know, have a team of students that would run this weekly radio show that highlighted the school activities. And so they came to the school, they pitched the idea, and they had a sign-up sheet. And I think there was only three people that ended up signing up for this club, I guess is what it was originally geared as.
Future Broadcasters of America,
that's right? Kind of what it was. It was really kind of like a futures, that's the way it was pitched to us, was it like a future Broadcasters Club. And just to highlight things that were going on in the school district.
Oh, that's neat.
And so three of us signed up, and then after they came and they talked about us, talked with us about, you know, what their vision was, the other kids said, well, it's not really what I want to do. And so that left us two. And they said, well, if you guys are interested, we'll hire you. And so Damon Lowell and myself got hired together, and we came to WVIN, and my license... This is back in the day when you still had to have a radio license to be able to be a broadcaster and be able to be on radio. My license was November of 1985.
Wow. So that show that you did, was it, you say it was a one-hour show. When did they run that?
They never ended up running it because they didn't get the interest from the students to be able to do it. So they hired us as part-time disc jockeys brought us in and just we did a normal shift. So so when I started out, and the interesting thing was is Damon and I both were DJs. We did school dances and things like that. So we had a DJ system with a couple of our other friends, and we would go and we would do school dances. So we were big into the music venues. You know,
not afraid to turn a microphone on.
You know, absolutely. So that's kind of how our interest was piqued in the whole thing, because we were DJs, you know, doing school dances. But so when we came here, it was an easy transition for us. The new thing was talking over the radio. You know, that was really the whole, because we could sit and spin records all day.
Yeah.
And being able to actually broadcast over the air and have to be able to talk, you know, to the audience was different for us. So, you know, as 16, 17-year-old kids, you know, that's a new concept, but we enjoyed it.
Now, did you eventually go full-time, or were you always a part-time announcer here?
I was always part-time. I did almost full-time hours for a little while, but as a part-timer for a period of time, because I did do some evening, you know, regular weeknight evening shifts toward the end. But I was working, at that point in time, I'd gotten a full-time job working for the school district. So I was an audiovisual aide working for the school district, but I was still working part-time here. But it got to be too much with working, you know, evening shift and then having to get up and go to work, you know, get out of here at midnight and be to work at the school district by 7:30 in the morning. So it just got to be too much, and I had to step away.
Do you have any recordings of you being a DJ ever do an air check?
Wow. There's probably got to be a cassette tape someplace with some, because I that's how I would, you know, I would critique myself. Yeah. I would bring a boombox in, and I would hit record it just before I would go on the air, and then I would, you know, say whatever I said, you know, introduce, outro, intro, whatever, and then when I was done, stop the recording. So I did have some cassette tapes that used to, you know, have me broadcasting, but.
You gotta
try to find a cassette recorder nowadays. Yeah. You're not going
to
find one.
Well, I'd like to try and get a segment of that. Maybe at the end of this interview, we got to attach it to it.
Boy. Because,
and that would be fun. But anyway.
I would have to find a cassette recorder to play
one. Well, we got a player. I don't know if it works. It hasn't been used in years.
Years.
But was one right here in the studio. But anyway, so when you were here at WVIN, again, we're talking to Tim Marshall. We're doing a feature called... a podcast called DJs from the Past. We've had Steve Rouse. We have had John Snyder. Now we're doing Tim Marshall. And these conversations are available on our website at wvinbat.com. Click on the podcast section. But do you remember some events you did or some fun things that went on while you were here working?
So when I first started, I had a Saturday night show. And I think my Saturday night show started at 6 o'clock, and typically it was a six-hour shift, so we would do 6 to midnight. So the first hour or so was, you know, my regular show. Then we did, I almost think, a 2 or 4 hour show called Soupy Sales Moldy Oldies. These were back in the days, you know, it wasn't satellite. They shipped you the records every week, and it was a 33 and a half you would put on, and you would play the first side, and then the second, you know, then there'd be a second record, and then you'd have to flip it into the, you know, so there was, each segment was a different LP. So I would have to sit through that show and, you know, run the commercials and all the other things that occurred during that show. And it was interesting because when we were talking earlier, when you said moldy oldies, how old were these songs? They were 1950s, 1960s.
Wow.
So this was 85, 86, you know. So, you know, they were the golden oldies back then. They used to call it golden oldies. I mean, gosh, now the golden oldies are 2000s, you know.
Locally born and raised, Tim Marshall from WVIN Radio. You eventually went to the school district, I believe, and got involved there. Well, what'd you do there?
So during high school, of course, you know, media has always been something that I've always been involved with. Like I said, I DJed dances, really enjoyed, you know, audio and music and those type of things. So I got heavily involved in high school. I think my freshman or sophomore year, I got involved with the AV club. So a gentleman by the name of Lynn Ahrens, who was, you know, a staple in our community for many years, and Lynn passed away in 95. But I got involved with the AV club, and so out of high school, Lynn was bringing on an assistant because he was taking more administrative roles on. So he brought me on as an assistant to run the AV department, and you know, he was my supervisor and was there to make sure everything was going right. But I spent 11 years working in the audiovisual department within the school district.
One thing we want to mention, because I knew you more through the Bath Fire Department initially than anything else, but you served in the fire department for a long time here in Bath.
So I started with the fire department in 1983, I believe. I was 14 years old as a junior firefighter. So the role of the junior firefighters, they're kind of a support, exterior, outside support team. So when the firefighters get to the fire, you know, the junior firemen would assist in stretching some hose lines. And the biggest thing that we were responsible for was setting up lights and generators at night, you know, things like that. And then we would be there to change their air bottles when they came out. So if they would go in, they would fight the fire. When they came back out for rehab or they were out of air, we would change the bottles. And that was primarily the responsibility of the junior firemen. And, you know, getting them bottles of water and things like that. So I, you know, transitioned from that into the senior firefighter role and was very involved with the firefighter. And as a firefighter, I've been since I was 14. So
I wouldn't be surprised. That kind of led you towards emergency services.
Which, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
You got a job with the county.
Yep. So in 1997, I came to work for Steuben County as the Deputy Director of Emergency Services under Mike Sprague. Don Mehring, who just was nominated to the Steuben County Hall of Fame with yourself. Don was a 2000, year 2001, okay, or 2021.
Yes, 2020, yeah.
So Don Mehring, who just was recently selected to the Hall of Fame, he retired as the Director of Emergency Services. Mike Sprague took his job and then backfilled his old position as a Deputy Director, and I got that in 1997. So, you know, the interesting thing was that, you know, radio has really helped me in this career because, you know, quite often I have to do interviews with television or radio personalities and whatnot. And my time here at WVIN has allowed me to feel comfortable in that role and be able to talk to the media and, you know, explain what's going on in an emergency scene or, you know, the activities that emergency services are playing.
Well, you and I have done that several times where there are situations where there are emergencies going on, and my first thought, I got to get a hold of Tim. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you answer and sometimes you don't. But yeah. It's a great way to get the information of what's going on quickly when we can connect with you.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. I mean, with today's technology, I mean, a lot of things are going social media.
Yep.
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, you know, all of those platforms are where a lot of people go now for information. But as you know, from your activities and our conversations we've had about the 72 flood, I mean, radio in 72, that's where people got their information, you know, about what was going on in the community and evacuation notices and shelter locations and that type of information. You don't have a lot of that anymore.
Yeah.
Because these stations are on auto format.
And they don't have a whole lot of staff in many cases.
Right.
The big thing is to cut staff.
Yep.
Because,
you know, there's a few stations out today that still have people that are there in studio that can do an interview and can get that information out. Brian O'Neill in Hornell is one. Yourself is another, and you know those are the folks that, you know, where we get information out to the public, because you know they have to look at a radio for that beyond social media.
Now, one of your sons actually worked for us for a while.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, my son Dylan in high school was looking for a part-time job and something that, you know, he could do that kind of was of interest to him. And so he came on and he was a board op.
Yeah.
Did NASCAR and Yankees games. He was a big Yankees fan, so he loved doing Yankees games. But he didn't like the NASCAR as much.
Well, guess what? Today, NASCAR is automated, so
wouldn't
have that anymore.
Yeah.
But your other son is Justin.
Justin,
right. Okay.
Yep.
And they're both graduated and on to their own lives.
Well, Justin, yeah. Justin is a sophomore in college.
Wow.
He did his first year at a school in Pittsburgh. Played baseball down there, as you know, your grandson and him have played baseball together for years, and so he's gone to Canandaigua this year, so he's finishing up his associate's degree in Canandaigua.
Yeah.
So he'll be moving on from there. Who knows where he's going? My other son Dylan is the interesting thing with Dylan is he got a start here at WVIN. Didn't want to go on the air. He just didn't feel comfortable being an on-air personality.
I noticed that.
I think he would have been fine.
Yeah.
So when he left here, he went to Canandaigua and went to Finger Lakes Community College, and he was in the communications field. That was his degree, was communications. He ended up doing the play-by-play for their basketball program.
Wow.
And did a really good, I guess it's just me, the dad in me, but he did a really good job doing that.
Well, you're
that.
A broadcaster too.
You know?
So, yeah.
And now he, he ended up going to Albany, University of Albany, and graduating with a degree in globalization. So he's in Washington, D.C. now. He works for a nonprofit down there doing educational programming for Middle Eastern, North African countries.
Congress is next, right?
A lot of people say that, but he says I just don't know if I could do the political thing. He says, Dad, I just don't know if I could do it. But he's he's done some podcasts and he's done a lot of world traveling and does a lot of stuff online with Instagram and things like that. So, I really think that his time here at WVIN and what he learned here. Then going to Canandaigua and working in a communications program there and honing his skills allowed him to really kind of flourish and grow.
Well, before we wrap this up, we've talked about everybody but your wife. Tell us a little bit about your wife.
My wife, Karen, she is a social worker, and she's been doing that for about 15 years. Between school districts. She worked for ProAction in the early intervention program for a while, and she's now at Taylor Health Center, where she is a social worker there. So she meets the the, you know, needs of the residents of the, you know, the nursing home out mm-hmm. there, and really enjoys her job. It's very satisfying, but it's been very difficult over these COVID months, you know.
Yeah, so, you're absolutely right, and we hope that this will end soon. Unfortunately, our chat has to end. We can't go forever. I could talk to you forever. But
yeah, absolutely. No, I mean, this is great, Dave. I mean, congratulations, WVIN, to be able to stay in the community and keep the community growing for 50 years. It's just amazing. And I think about all of the different people that I've interacted with here. You know, we've talked about that over the course of the last few weeks as we were setting this interview up. You know, certainly Jayla Scolia, we've been, you know, good friends for many, many years. And John Snyder and I've had the opportunity to work together. You know, here I was talking about John Snyder and when we began and listening to him on the radio. And then over the course of the time when I was here, John came back, and John and I got to work together. And I really just enjoy his friendship and, you know, the folks that I've worked with here. It's just been great.
It's been very enjoyable to have you with us. It's called DJs from the Past. It's part of our 50th anniversary celebration here at WVIN Radio. Tim, we'll talk to you again sometime.
Thank you so much, Dave. I appreciate you having me.